right, well, good evening. I'd like to call this March 20th, 2012 Monroe City Council meeting to order and ask if you would take the roll call, please.
Councilperson Gary.
Here.
Cuddaback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp. Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
I did receive word from Councilmember Camp that he would be about 20 minutes late today. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this section of the agenda is set aside for comments from citizens to the City Council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. You're welcome to address the City Council on any other subject. We'd like to ask that you limit your time to 5 minutes. And if you would, for the record, please provide your name and address. I do have some couple signed up here. First is Mr. McDonald.
Do I stand?
if you would, up to the podium, and if we may, your name and address for the record.
Sure thing. Didn't expect to be first. That's great. So my name is Bryce McDonald. I actually live in Kenmore, Washington. Do you want the full address?
Please.
8404 Northeast 170th Street in Kenmore. So just a neighbor. I really just came today to speak in favor of the proposed cable park on Lake Ty. Came to find out about it. My wife actually has run a business here just down the street from the cable park actually for the better part of 10 years. Heard about it kind of through the grapevine and just being part of this community. Took the family out to Orlando to go to Disney World, a family vacation, I guess. And as you may or may not know, they have I think it's probably the largest in the country. So as somebody who has wakeboarded for a few years now, I kind of wanted to see firsthand what was being proposed for Monroe. And went out there and just had a really great experience. Great experience with the people there, great experience with the sport. I think it brings a really favorable opportunity. I mean, in the Northwest, we love our recreation. We love the outdoors. And we also, those of us that have children and our family people, I think we want to be able to enjoy those sports and the outdoors and recreation in a safe and controlled environment, which is something that the cable park, in my experience, really did. So I just wanted to come and say my piece. I think it does a lot of great things for the community, and obviously I don't live in Monroe proper. I live, obviously, in Kenmore. I live on the water. I live on the slough. I've got a boat right out my back door. But even that said, the fact that the cable park eliminates the need for a boat and a spotter, and it's a lot safer because you're not contending with other boats. I can bring my children, teach them how to do it in a really safe environment. So, I've got every reason really not to support it because I've got the ability to go do it any day that I want to out my back door. But again, it's just another nice piece of recreation. I think about the jobs and the business that it brings to the area as well. And I think it's just kind of a win-win for all parties. So, not to mention the different youth groups and church groups and things that could benefit from another attraction, another way to bring community together. It's a very nice thing. And, for people, to appreciate the city council and those in the community looking for another draw as people drive through Monroe to go to Stevens Pass and things and different summer activities. I just think it's a great opportunity. So with that said, I think that's it. I don't need to take up any more time. Just want to thank you all for your time and listening.
Thanks. Diane Elliott.
I'm Diane Elliott, 15550, 174th Avenue Southeast in Monroe, Washington. And as many of you know, I am the spokesperson for the Friends of North Kelsey, but I would also like to just comment on Mr. Adams McDonald's statement. I, too, was at the Orlando Wake Park. I made a special trip there in January, and it is, very good situation. It's got a major freeway on one place and industrial areas around it. And so it's not in a residential area. That's where it belongs. So moving on, that's a comment. But, you know, I've got some thoughts on what's currently going on in Monroe. And my thoughts are that, you know, a good manager would always have a backup plan. And a good economics director would have multiple backup plans. And Mr. Mayor, you've stated publicly many times that you don't shop. Can I say Walmart or should I say bleep, 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 bleep? Is this quasi-judicial or... Okay.
For the clarification of the council, the quasi-judicial process for the Walmart Savvy development application is technically closed because the matter is no longer before the council. That's currently in the courts, and there are no restrictions imposed by the Appearance of Fairness Doctrine for council received comments or citizens.
I think that was a yes. I can say the word. Okay. So you don't shop at Walmart. Your wife doesn't shop at Walmart. You have stated that you don't even shop in Monroe. And I've heard many counselors state the same. Mr. Mayor, you state that your wife shops at Nordstrom's.
No, I've never done that.
Well, I've heard you say that.
Well, you've heard an incorrect statement.
Okay, but then,
so
okay, but maybe if we had,
it's not a correct statement.
Maybe if we had a Nordstrom's rack here, you know, maybe she'd shop there, I would. But maybe they would put a small store here. Why don't you focus on bringing that kind of business here that you and your wife and other council members would like to shop at? And personally, I shop in Monroe. Everything I'm wearing tonight, whether you like my style or not, I bought in Monroe on Main Street. So why does there have to be, you know, your Ford business, but why does it have to be one big business? Why can't there be multiple small businesses? And, you know, encourage people, all of you, to shop here locally. As a matter of fact, I was out shopping locally today and posting it on Facebook. We went to the auto parts place. I was with my husband. I posted it. I went to Maine Clothing. I posted it. We ate in town. I posted it. I went to LA Fashion. We posted it. So, I mean, I don't like to go anyplace else. I want to shop here, and I want to have, you know, lots of selection. And, Mr. Mayor, on June 30th, you actually could make this happen. You actually could become a hero. So that's what I'm asking you. On June 30th, you have the ability to make something different happen in Monroe. Make it a place that we'd all want to shop here and stay here. Thank you.
Okay, I don't have anybody else signed up at this time, but if anyone would like to address council, you may do so. I ask that you come to the podium and state your name and address for the record.
My name is Bob DeLeo, 424 Northwest Lake Rosiger Road, Lake Rosiger. The question I have is regards to cameras on Freiland. Are they still operational?
Yes, they are.
What is the status of the cameras in the future going forward?
Well, if I may, and council can correct me if I'm wrong, we do have a current contract that's an agreement with the camera company, Redflex. That contract runs through the end of 2013. And it currently covers three areas of the city. On Main Street in front of the school, on Freiland's in front of the school there, as well at the intersection of Kelsey and Highway 2, there's red light cameras at that location.
There was a newspaper article regarding the populace voting against it. Is that right?
We did submit for the public to vote an advisory ballot measure last November, asking if at the end of the contract the public would like council to continue with or extend the contract. And the response to that proposal or to that measure was no. The community did not want the contract to be extended beyond its expiration date.
I see. For the record, I'd like to quote a Supreme Court ruling. This is Kyle versus United States. States, the police cannot use high technology devices to search through the walls of a house regarding, in other words, protecting probable cause. Yeah, I mean, you just can't. Probable cause is a doctrine that refers to a reasonable belief that a crime has been committed, not a crime that will be committed or is about to be committed. It's something that it's a guaranteed right by the people. In this Kylo, Justice Scalia was especially incensed, saying in his opinion, to allow such searches would leave the homeowner at the mercy of advancing technologies. In other words, you could put a camera a mile and a half away with a present technology and capture these people. And the idea being that The exclusionary rule that the court came with states that you cannot arbitrarily surveil everybody because you have to have probable cause on someone that's breaking the law, not somebody that may just come down the pike and break the law. And so that was my question as to what the legal ramifications are as far as what the city is doing. I know that I read the deal in California. California has taken a lot of them out because of the very fact. One of the municipalities had upped the ticket to $500, and it's a creeping thing. And I mean, it just happens because it's a revenue thing, not a safety thing. And I don't know how many children have died on private or been run over. But if nobody has, where does the safety thing come in on this situation? Can anybody answer that one? Has anybody got run over or killed or anything on private?
I don't believe anybody has at this point. I certainly hope nobody does.
I hope so, too. So my point being is, what's the criteria, Kevin? Who decides where to put the cameras, except the fact that it's a 20-mile-an-hour zone, and there's going to be an awful lot of tickets being written because being frail and human, doing 20 miles, I walk that fast. and so everybody's going to get a ticket, I would suppose. You know, so I think it's a revenue thing more than a safety thing. It's my opinion, of course, but... So that's what I wanted to say. And then I guess you all know I got a ticket. So I just wanted to find out if I fight with a judge or I just say yes, sir.
I won't point fingers at anybody, but I think there's some people in this room that have probably joined you in the meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Jeff Rasmussen, 16655 150th Street Southeast, right here in Monroe. Thank you again for the time. I was here last week, and I started off by with a quote that I heard, perception becomes reality. And I went on to explain that the perception that's out there within our community seems to be that our elected officials are ignoring our citizens. And I really challenged the group here last week to let's work together, citizens working with our elected officials working with our citizens, to try to take this sad reality and dissolve all reality of it and all perception of it. Let's work together. And by the next day, I was thrilled that I had two council members reach out to me. Councilmember Cuddeback, thank you. Contact me, said thank you for your comments, appreciate it, thank you. And then Councilmember Tom Williams invited me to meet with him, and let's talk was kind of what it came down to. And, you know, when I met with Tom, it was, we had a great conversation. he heard me out, I heard him out on just a variety of issues that we're experiencing here in Monroe. And, you know, in the end, we didn't agree on everything, but we didn't disagree on everything. But the important thing is that we heard each other's perspectives, which I found valuable and very appreciative of it. The one part of the conversation that we had where I think we both struggled, I know I struggled with it, because it was kind of, it was another, I guess I saw it as another challenge. And that's how we get the communication out to our citizens. How can we effectively, as elected officials, get communication out to our citizens that's unbiased, very friendly, and informative? And informative being the key piece there. And, you know, Tom and I, we talked, and, you know, one-on-one meetings are great. I got a lot out of that meeting, and I'm very grateful for it. I understand, though, that neither nor I or you have the time to meet with every single citizen in our community. Just doesn't happen and won't happen. So I challenge everyone here, let's find a way where we can reach out to our citizens and have the open conversation. You know, thinking back to when the Wake Park first started coming about and we were gearing up for the public meetings, I remember a lot of comments of people coming forward saying, I've never heard about this. I've never heard what's going on. I just found out today. And the question was brought up on the floor, and I believe it was Mr. Sachs saying that we had done everything that we were legally obligated to do. And you know, doing everything you're legally obligated to do is fine to keep you out of legal hot water. But in today's society, we need to go above and beyond when it comes to service levels. And I think that's really one step where that may have been missed here. It was suggested several times from council members as well as citizens to post signs around the park about the upcoming meetings. Utility bill mailers. There was a variety of suggestions that flew out there. Unfortunately, none of them came true. I don't know why. I wish I did. And I've yet to find the answers to why, but it's unfortunate because these are ways that we could inform our citizens of, come to this council meeting, this is what's on the agenda, it is going to affect you, or could affect you, however you want to put it. I mean, these are ways we can work together is what I'm saying. You know, so I really challenge you as our council members, as our elected officials, to Let's continue working together. Let's get the information out there. Let's make sure people are informed and they're getting the right information. And you are hearing our perspective, so you have the information to make the right decisions. That's truly what it's about. So, again, thank you for your time. I look forward to working with everyone here. So, thank you.
Thank you.
We also met Mr. Rasmussen. I just wanted to point out that you and I also met together.
We did. I do appreciate it. So,
and I did as well.
So. Thank you.
Anyone else like to address council at this time? No? All right. Okay, then we will move on to the next section of our meetings. Councilmember Gamble? Not in?
Okay.
All right, just check it. All right, then. Anything to be pulled this evening? I see none, and a motion to approve consent agenda would be in order.
So moved. Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Gearing and seconded by Councilmember Camp to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And Dee, you did notice that Councilmember Camp came in about 5 minutes ago. Okay, we're moving on then to final action number one, and that is Mr. Lowe, Attorney Lowe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A few weeks ago, I was approached by city staff with a request to review the city's ethics code in light of the fact that the city was having difficulty reaching a quorum of ethics board members, and the city was concerned at the staff level that lack of a quorum was going to impede the function and operation of the ethics code unless there were some changes made to the ordinance that would allow for some type of alternative processing. What resulted from those discussions was a proposal to add a provision to the ethics code, which you see encapsulated in the draft ordinance in front of you tonight, which would enable the city's hearing examiner to fulfill some designated functions of the ethics board whenever the board was unable to meet. So this is an amendment to Monroe Municipal Code 252080 by adding a new subsection D, clarifying that the hearing examiner does have jurisdiction and authority to serve as the board would otherwise serve in situations where the board is unable to meet but as a result of lack of a quorum. And I'm happy to answer any other questions that the council may have.
Council, anything for the city attorney? Any questions? Councilmember Gamble?
So who is the hearing who's the hearing examiner?
John Gold.
Okay. That's the land use.
It's rotating, isn't it?
We had one application for that, and I can't remember her name. It's on file.
Yeah, same administrator.
We haven't had a purpose.
My only concern in the whole, because you said some functions that they will, because when I read the whole ordinance or whatever, it just sounded like basically they could do everything. What's the incentive if we put this in? There's a perception that we don't ever need a quorum because we can just have the hearing examiner preside over stuff. I mean, I understand the reason why, but I just don't want to circumvent the reason for the whole reason for the process.
And I may have misspoke. I don't think that the purpose of the draft ordinance is to supplant the function of the ethics board. As I understand it, obviously that ethics ordinance far predates my tenure here as city attorney. But my understanding is that this is essentially a gap filler. It's just a practical alternative in situations where, as the city presently finds itself, there just simply isn't a quorum of interested citizens that would allow the ethics board to fulfill its duties. So it's not intended to supplant the board's function. It's intended to ensure that the code operates as it was originally intended, just using a slightly different procedural mechanism, a different decision maker.
So instead of using a majority rule as the decision maker, you'd use the hearing examiner?
Correct. And I believe that it's primarily for the purpose of making the prima facie showing, the prima facie determination, the initial determination of sufficiency for ethics complaints that was staff's concern. And I'll let staff speak to that. But that was the intent legally in drafting this.
Because when I read the ordinance, it to me sounded all encompassing. So, because I know when we talked about it, that we were talking about for specific, but it sounded, basically all encompassing.
And frankly, Council, this is an area where you, as the legislative body, have complete discretion. You don't need to make this amendment to the code. You don't need to make any amendment to the code. This is just a staff proposal to, again, ensure that the ethics process that you adopted is able to function even when the ethics board doesn't have a quorum. So there are any number of potential means by which you can move toward that goal, and you certainly don't have to adopt this or anything else.
City Administrator Brazel.
I just wanted to clarify the list that was spoke of. The ethics code does talk about a list of hearing examiners being set up. We have advertised for that, and we received one applicant of interest, and I believe the code speaks to a specific number of people on the list. I don't have that in front of me this evening, but we are going to be advertising again in the near future for hearing examiners to try and broaden our list.
Would you yield for a comment on that? There's a piece of me that says we should probably defer this, because if we're going to put an ordinance place where we don't even have sufficient list of folks per the ordinance we have in place for the hearing examiner side of it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And that could happen since the ethics code has been in place. We haven't been able to get a list of hearing examiner's interest in serving on it, so that has been an issue. As the same issue has occurred in keeping a quorum on the board. So this is kind of a backup plan.
If I understand, you're saying why move forward with any types of amendment
at
this time? I guess it's the cart before the horse type of thing, or or it could be what comes first, the chicken or the egg type of thing. We've never utilized a hearing examiner for an ethics situation, and that might be part of the reason why nobody was interested in it, because there's nothing going on. I don't know. We do have a fairly strong list, or had a fairly strong list in the past of hearing examiners for land use issues. Mm-hmm. Tend to be more land use issues as well. I think what staff is saying here is that we don't have a quorum, and it may be possible to. I think what they're saying is that we should have more options than what we currently have, because right now, if we don't have a quorum, we don't. There's nothing. There's essentially nothing that is where we can go if ever in the future there was something to happen where it was needed.
Maybe I misheard, because what I was hearing from City Manager Brazel was that we don't have an appropriate amount of or list for the hearing examiners anyway. But if, let's say we had a quorum and we needed it.
All we need is one on the list to be able to utilize somebody. But the ethics code talks about having a list, and I don't remember the specific number of how many on there. We don't currently meet that, but at least we have one available. So if we did have an ethics complaint today or tomorrow, we could utilize the one that is on our list.
Councilmember Geary.
Thank you. I believe the section that we included as passed for the hearing examiner is actually past the sufficiency stage. It was for the actual hearing stage, if there was sufficiency. So two different things. That's what that section applies to, if I remember correctly. To me, this makes a lot of sense. If there is something, it essentially stops it if there's not a quorum. So to me, this makes a lot of sense. Whether there's 10 people interested or one, I don't think that would be a reason not to do it. It's better to be prepared than not prepared. So I certainly don't see a reason not to move forward. I don't know if there's a time constraint. I think the request, I guess I have a question about, I think the recommended action was first and final. I'm just curious about that versus doing next week. I didn't know if there was a it does say first and final. So if there's the then I'm fine doing that. I mean, it's a simple change, but then we need to waive just the reasoning behind it, if there is any.
The only reason I put it on there is because we kept bumping it out a few weeks. We had a little more research to do.
Did I skip over that? I'm sorry.
But there is no urgency. If council just wants to do the first reading this evening. Second reading, the 1st of April, that is fine as well.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion then, and notice my lights on. I'm going to move to adopt it. And let me just read that here.
I'm going to move to waive the council procedures, or are you going to do just the first reading?
Yeah, well, there's not a rush. I'm fine doing first and final, but it sounds like everybody else might wait. So let's just go ahead and do it the first reading. So I'll move. What's the ordinance?
008-2012.
To adopt ordinance 008-2012 of the City of Mineral, Washington, amending Chapter 252 of the City Code of Ethics.
As first reading.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Geary and seconded by Councilmember Camp to adopt ordinance number 008-2012. For the record, I have the city attorney read the official title of the ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ordinance number 008-2012, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, amending Chapter 252 MMC Code of Ethics, authorizing the city's hearing examiner to fulfill certain duties of the Ethics Board where a quorum of the board is unavailable, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Thank you. Councilmember Pettibat?
Thank you. I just had a question. So the hearing examiner would determine sufficiency, right? And in the ordinance, and the ordinance we have currently, it goes to the Board of Ethics first. But then doesn't the person who's being complained against or has the right to either have it heard before the board or continue with the hearing examiner? So wouldn't, if we don't have a board and they choose to have it heard before a board, so I guess I want to make sure that if we allow a hearing examiner to determine the sufficiency, that we're not taking away anybody's right after that. Say they determine there's sufficient evidence. At that point, a person has a choice who hears it, but if we don't have a Board of Ethics, what happens then? If they choose, I want the Board of Ethics to hear it, not the hearing examiner, what happens?
Well, as I read the draft ordinance before you, what would happen there is that the hearing examiner would then fulfill the board's function in that role, because there wouldn't be a Board of Ethics. So the hearing examiner would step in the shoes of the Ethics Board and basically fulfill the same function. And even if the Board of Ethics had rendered the original determination regarding sufficiency, the hearing examiner would then make the subsequent determination and hold the subsequent hearing under a different and stronger legal standard, obviously, because the sufficiency standard is something different than the subsequent one.
Right. But I remember as counsel, we had a lot of discussion about giving people the choice of whether having a hearing examiner or a Board of Ethics. We had a lot of discussion over that, and we left that in, because at one point we were talking about just having a hearing examiner, and we decided not to go that route because people felt pretty strongly about having an ethics board. So I guess I understand the need. I don't want process to be delayed, especially want people to be waiting if there's complaints. I certainly don't want that. But I also don't want to take away somebody's right to have a choice when that's what we purposely had put in that ordinance in the first place. Gene, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How many vacancies do we have, and how many spots are we lacking a quorum? And I guess, what are we doing actively? I know we probably advertise, but are we taking any other proactive measures to try to get somebody on?
We are advertising. It's on the website. We do have an interested party.
Okay. And would that fulfill the quorum?
Yes.
Okay. So we have an interested party, which you have to interview and then present to council. So we do have one that possibly would then, we'd have a full board. So
or a quorum.
Or a quorum. So at least, because this is, what we're trying to decide tonight is whether we go this route because we don't have a quorum. But if we have an interested party, is there a timeline when you would interview that person and see if it would be a good fit?
We're going to try and interview that person this evening, and they weren't available. So okay. In the next week and a half, we should have somebody.
Do we have anything pressing any pressing situations that need to take place?
Currently, we do not.
Okay. I guess I will not be voting to move forward tonight because we have a person who's interested that would fulfill the quorum requirement if it's a good fit. We don't have anything pressing. I don't want to put a process, but I also know how strong this community feels about the ethics ordinance. And we've spent a lot of time in our first year talking about this and did some amendments to it, and a lot of discussion about people having the choice of choosing, whether it goes to ethics board or hearing examiner. And I would hate to, take that choice away. I think we have some urgency in trying to get those spots filled. So that's my rationale for not voting for this tonight. I'd like to see how the interview goes and how that goes. And if it's not a good fit, then
maybe address this, if, you know, in a couple weeks. If we had a pressing issue that needed to be addressed, then I'd probably handle it tonight. Thank you.
Just to answer your other piece of your question, in terms of proactive, I do not, nor does City Administrator Brazel, take a proactive role in, say,
encouraging
people. This is, you know, that would not be, I think, appropriate for me to do. It's certainly something that we want citizens to participate in out of their own desire and conscience. The individual that we have, to your point, you know, I don't know this individual. I'm not sure, you know, what their background is. So I think any citizen who wants to serve on this particular board, unless they are a convicted felon, I guess, might be a good fit. But we don't do background checks to see whether they are or not. However, I still think that at any time, we could be without a quorum if any one of those three people are sick. And so to answer your other question is that we're down three individuals for the ethics board.
Okay. If I could just, when I say proactive, you know, we might look at making an announcement at chamber meetings, at Rotary meetings, just a general announcement to hit, you know, we have three open spots at the ethics board, and keep it kind of front of mind. And I'm sure people can go out and make those statements. I'd be happy to, if I'm allowed to, make those statements at Rotary. General, not purposely singling out a resident, but actually making just general statements that we have the need it fills. Please, if you're interested, come forward. So,
Mayor, may I address council on this?
Absolutely.
I'm the staff liaison. This is an ongoing issue. Excuse me. We have struggled for years to keep a quorum. We've gone for a full year and a half with three people. Someone gets sick, someone's traveling, whatever. We get complaints that our meetings are canceled and that kind of thing. It's an ongoing issue. We have advertised. We've had free articles in the Herald. We've done lots of things to try and get interest, but we can't force citizens, and it is an ongoing issue. I feel strongly we need a backup plan. And even if we had five people, that doesn't necessarily mean we could have a quorum at any given time. Sometimes it's retired people who are interested, and they travel. And so that's one of the issues we've run into. And we need some sort of backup plan. It's been a huge struggle. I get ready for meetings and get a last-minute call, and we have no quorum. So we need a total of five members, and we've been trying to work with three for a couple of years.
Thank you, Eve.
Sure.
Councilmember Hamburg?
I agree with you, Patsy, as far as putting off the vote. I'm more comfortable in waiting. I guess it's good to hear that, Edie, what you're saying there as far as the different needs that we have. I would really love to somehow, I don't know if you've heard that announced in chamber meetings, but I think those are great ideas. I think if it's all right for us as council members to spread that word, that there is a need for our city for those positions, I'll start spreading the word on that. This is important. And I wasn't here on the council for all the discussions that you had, but I think that's from the event from you guys that this was a big deal and that we should treat it with respect. The question I have is there a way that this hearing examiner can fill the spot on the board? Maybe I'm not correctly understanding it, but rather than go to the ethics board, option A, or hearing examiner, option B, can the hearing examiner temporarily become a member of the ethics board to hear the situation before them?
They have to be a citizen.
Actually, yeah, to be a member of the board.
And it's a volunteer position. It's not a paid position.
Mm-hmm.
So if this hearing examiner is a citizen, can they just fill the spot so that there is a quorum?
Maybe we should, have the city attorney clarify who can serve as a hearing examiner.
Well, I could be happy to look into that, counsel. The bottom line, I think, is that there's no requirement under state law for you to have an ethics board or even a hearing examiner in the first instance. So to the extent that you've established these two bodies, these two decisional bodies, you've done that as a matter of local policy. So the short answer, unless I'm absolutely mistaken, I'll verify it, is that you can change your code to eliminate the residency requirement or to provide for the hearing examiner to serve as a board member in that type of a context, as a substitute for an absent member. Now, the hearing examiner is going to be a paid consultant or a paid service provider of the city. So that individual's service is presumably going to be paid, going to be compensated, and that individual is going to be under contract with the city, unlike the average board member. So that might open up the proverbial can of worms, but that's really a policy question for the city more than a legal one. The short answer is there's probably a way to do that if that's the council's preference.
In the hearing examiner is normally a practicing attorney.
Who generally, yes.
Practicing attorney or retired attorney or judge.
There's no legal requirement for a hearing examiner to be an attorney under state law. As a matter of practice, the vast majority of hearing examiners are licensed attorneys. But as if I understand Councilmember Hanford's proposal, the examiner under this scenario would be serving as essentially just another board member, basically filling in for an absent board member, and wouldn't even be first among equals in that situation.
That's great.
I'd be happy to look into that, but my assumption is that it would be permissible for the city to establish a system like that. It would probably require at least a few changes to your code.
So probably more changes than what we're...
Correct. Absolutely.
Recommending or looking at here tonight. Okay. Councilmember Gary.
Oh, yeah, I saw some of the lights on. I wanted to respectfully disagree with not moving forward. Along with what Edie has said, this is just covering a gap, and it's just a first reading. And I think it's a waste of Edie's time, it's a waste of the Ethics Board's time to not be able to do something. If there was to be something, it's a waste of someone else's time to have to sit there and wait. And quite frankly, I think there's more damage probably done there with having to sit there, with not being able to do anything. And this is a backup plan. I think it's pretty straightforward, and it doesn't matter there's no reason not to do it. If you have three people, then it doesn't apply. But as Edie was saying, when one person's gone, then it would. And again, that assumes that there's actually something, an actual issue. But they can't even have meetings now. So I certainly agree with the publicity. This is a pretty simple backup plan. I don't think it takes. I think it takes away from his rights. That is an interesting point, which is why I think first reading makes most sense. But clearly, I made the motion, so I'll be supporting it. I don't think there's a reason to not move forward with this.
Councilmember McCann.
Thank you. Just as a review for me, there are really two levels by directing the city attorney.
Yes.
Okay. There are two levels. There's first the sufficiency hearing and then the redo, correct?
The sufficiency hearing, and then the next level is a more substantive, more in-depth review, correct?
So as a first step, in the event that an ethics charge is brought against someone, we're delaying it if we don't have an ethics board in place to do that review?
That's my understanding. There's simply, as I understand it from staff, there's simply no quorum right now. So to the extent that there was an ethics complaint filed, it would be difficult, if not impossible, for that initial determination of sufficiency to occur, because the code currently delegates that function exclusively to the ethics board.
So So what this would do is alleviate having something hanging over an individual, an ethics charge that may or may not be valid, and allowing them an opportunity to present that to a hearing examiner who can determine sufficiency.
Correct. The current proposal in front of you would do exactly that.
But then the next step would be their choice of an ethics review or a hearing examiner review.
An ethics board review or a hearing examiner review. But again, if the current vacancy has not been filled on the board by the time that second determination is required to be issued, by default under the proposed ordinance, that function would also be fulfilled by the examiner, because there wouldn't be an ethics board. There really wouldn't be a choice under those circumstances.
What this shows me is, as an individual, if an ethics complaint is to be brought forward, I don't have to sit and wait until we manage to find a quorum to allow this to continue. So essentially having on the back shelf or constantly behind you, reminding you that you're going to have to deal with this issue eventually. So in that case, having a hearing examiner be able to provide a relatively short, time frame to review it and determine whether or not this charge should even be applied, it makes more sense. That's why I believe this. We should at least go forward with the first round. Thank you.
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you. I'm going to vote no on it, because for the sole reason is we constantly are bringing up gaps that we have in the ethics code. We have the gap with executive session materials, and it just seems like we keep pushing this problem, this Band-Aid approach to the problem. I frankly think we've spent enough time discussing it. You know, that in the 3 years that I've been involved in the city, I haven't heard of one complaint. Yet it's occupied an extreme amount of time at council to discuss changes to the policy. I hear Councilmember Kedebeck say that this is a huge issue to the community, yet we can't get any of the community to serve. And that's been an ongoing problem since day one, from what I've understood. You know, I guess I'm just getting tired of discussing it, and I know that this one fix will not really fix it. It will just cause us to have another set of things that we have to discuss. What happens when it comes down to the point that someone has the choice to have it heard by a hearing examiner or the board, and they would say, I want the board. And they say, well, there is no board, so you're stuck with the hearing examiner. You know, then we have to discuss what that's going to do. And I don't see this ever ending, so.
Councilman McGill.
Yeah, and I echo Tom's comments, and that's really where I was, kind of going with this, is that, I don't disagree with the, hey, you want to get through having something hanging over your head so you can tell the sufficiency, but then to move on, and, well, it's the same person that did the sufficiency hearing, decided on not to have the option of the board. It kind of defeats, the purpose of, then we're right back to where we started, where now we have a complaint on that, we just kind of circumvented the whole thing. That's kind of where I started with my line of question.
Councilor McCann.
I guess this would be a question. Are we not then just pushing this out further? We're dealing with the same issue, but in a week, we'll still have the same issue. That's the plan. Perhaps I should be asking the question, I'm just curious.
Can I respond?
Please.
I'd much rather address it when we have to address it than when it's all hypothetical. And it just seems like, we spent 45 minutes a couple weeks ago to talk about somebody that is, should we be able to approve bills if you happen to work at Staples or something? I mean, it seems kind of ludicrous to spend so much time on something. What's the alternative if we said if there was no availability? It sounds like we have problems getting a hearing examiner. We have problems getting people to serve on the board. So I'd be more inclined to support this if it said that if we don't have those two, then we fall under the state ethics code, which I think is a much more tried and true, that has a whole lot of other jurisdictions, challenging it for sufficiency and so forth, than Monroe, which is the, a city of 16,000 people that's blazing the trail for the only city in the state to have their own ethics ordinance. I think it's kind of insane.
I'm
are you suggesting there?
Well, I'm just going to be curious on how the response is in the community.
Well,
I said the same message eight years ago.
I would be happy to address that with anyone who wants to ask the question. We in the 3 years that I've been involved, both as running for office and now sitting in office, I have not heard of one complaint brought forward, yet we seem to take an enormous amount of time discussing the gaps in this ordinance. Therefore, I don't see that problem going away. I'd like to make it go away tonight and just say that I'm going to vote no on this, because I just think it's going to fix it.
All right, okay. Seeing no other lights, any other comments? Take a vote. Vote on the motion then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right, motion fails on a vote of 6-2 with...
5-2.
Councilmember Camp and Gearing in support. That'll do it. All right. Okay. And you're right. It was 35 minutes on that. All right. Council members, anything to report this evening?
I do.
Yes, Councilmember Cutter.
Thank you. I just wanted to announce Snohomish County Health District is partnering up with CMAR to offer free immunizations for whooping cough, and so they're trying to prevent a kind of an epidemic in Snohomish County. So they are being held Saturday, March 24th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the CMAR Community Health Center, 17707 West Main Street, Monroe. Walk-ins are welcome. Appointments are recommended. And again, this is a free service. And I have a flyer in English and Spanish. I was hoping to see all of the post.
Can you copy that?
Thanks.
Councilor Williams?
Thank you. I'd like to report the Finance Committee has been meeting. I think we've already met three times on the reserve policy. Been working with Diane pretty close, and I think we're getting probably ready to have something within the next 30 days to present to council.
30 days?
Yeah. Well, we don't meet again. We don't meet again for 3 weeks. So.
Okay. Council members, anything else to report this evening? Go off the staff, and then at this time, Chief, there's a gentleman sitting beside you.
Yes.
I might be curious as to who.
It is my pleasure to introduce the new Deputy Chief of the Monroe Police Department, Ken Gennard. I won't go into his lengthy resume because we will have a swearing-in ceremony in front of you all in a few weeks. But I will say that the panel, that the interviews of the candidates all agreed and made this comment that they wish they had the opportunity to hire Ken, and that was a good enough recommendation for me. So I am very happy to have Ken on board. So.
Welcome.
I have also one more thing.
Yeah.
As most of you have heard that on Sunday we had a homicide occur in the city of Monroe, and I've already got some inkling from some of our citizens that they've been watching too much CSI. They think it could be solved within 1 hour or between a 1 minute and 30 second commercial. I'm not sure. I will guarantee you it will be solved. There will be arrests made. Monroe has a very, very good reputation on homicide investigations, and it will be a successful investigation, and it may take time, but in the long run we will do an excellent job, and we will make an arrest.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Mike, anything for council this evening?
Yeah, a couple of announcements. This weekend, events are starting up. One is a volunteer garden work party at the Julia Morris Garden. That's over at the intersection of Village Way and Scarborough Parkway. That's this Saturday, March 24th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Then also this weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, is a youth basketball tournament. It's called Who's Got Game Invitational. It's an invitational tournament. We we've been working with Northside Basketball to put this together. There'll be another one in May. Anyways, this is at Monroe High School. This will be on Saturday and Sunday this week.
Jeff, anything for council? Ben, anything? Deputy Chief, would you like to say anything? Or?
No, I'm thrilled to be a member of the community, and I look forward to work with all of you.
You're welcome once again. Thank you. Diane?
We have enhanced the utility billing online pay program. You can now go online and view your account, view your history, your consumption, little graphs to look at. You can sign up for a recurring payment program. So check that out.
Brad, anything?
Nothing today. Okay.
City Administrator Razzle.
Thank you very much. Draft agenda for April 3rd, 2012. Consent agenda under new business. We have council review site code amendments. Number two is North Kelsey plan update, review plan commission proposal. Number three is council direction, cannabis collective burdens. Number four item is the senior center ground lease extension. And we're actually proposing to move that out to April 10th. It's going to take a little while to get that review. Under final action, this is tentative. Accept grant award and authorize bid for Powell Street sidewalks. And then we have the draft agenda for April 10th, 2012. Any additions or deletions?
Okay, I have nothing except for baseball season is in full swing. High school is. So I'm in baseball heaven. Part of the year, so I invite you to come out and watch the varsity team play Oak Harbor tomorrow at the fields right next to the Catholic Church. I believe they start at 3:30, so if you're able to do that. Very young team, but they're doing a great job in some of these older, faster, stronger players. So that's it for reports. We do have the need for an executive session this evening, and I'll have the city attorney provide us with the RCW as well as the purpose of the executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Pursuant to RCW 4230-110-1I, the council will convene an executive session to discuss pending litigation with legal counsel. The executive session will last approximately 15 minutes, after which the council is not anticipated to take action in open session when you reconvene, except to formally adjourn the meeting.
Thank you. With that said, then, we will go into executive session for 15 minutes approximately. Okay. All right. Okay, we are back in session. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All right. Motion's been made by Councilmember Pettibak, seconded by Councilmember Davis. Everybody sounds surprised by that. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
That's one of several things.
I love it. It was almost comic relief at the end. Oh, by the way, So Sherry is in Kirkland?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, she does.
So good. Good. Don't hear much from her.
Is that a step up?